This is an ABC podcast.
This time last year, Michelle McCann was getting her young family ready for their Christmas holiday at the beach, and she had an idea for a cheeky little side project she could knock off while she was sitting around in the sand. But the summer of 2019 had other things in store. Here's Michelle with one of my favourite Occam's razors, a story of hope based on evidence and heart.
So, this summer I decided, with absolutely zero experience, that I was going to create a meme. And I did that because I paused and I thought about the fact that the Prime Minister of our country, you know, our leader, he'd stood up in Parliament holding a lump of coal. And I thought of all that that coal symbolised for me, and I thought of all the other lumps that he could have held up instead. I, for example, have a lump of silicon. Silicon is the building block of solar cells and solar panels, and silicon is therefore beautiful. Silicon is made from sand, so I thought my meme could involve people from all over Australia sharing images of themselves holding up a handful of sand. I thought that'd be super easy to combine with a summer holiday in Australia, right? Ha ha. And a handful of sand holds so much promise, and perhaps surprisingly for you, so much power. A lump of silicon can actually give thousands of times as much electricity as the equivalent lump of coal. So that's a good meme, right? Unfortunately, though, this summer, when I was in my hometown of Canberra, I was breathing poisonous air from the smoke from the bushfires that were surrounding us. And when I escaped to the coast, I wasn't sitting dreamily on the beach watching the sand drain through my fingers trying to look meme appropriate, whatever that is. Actually, I was at the evacuation centre in Maruya with my young family. I told you to make me cry. That's not even the sad bit. And I'm really cognizant of the fact that I was one of the lucky ones this summer. We only lost a holiday. This summer we saw a taster of the beginnings of what it means that humans have done climate change. And this summer made us angry, and we haven't forgotten how we felt, even now that it started to rain. And I don't want in any way to detract from that anger and the passion that's been aroused, but I do want to offer a sprinkling of hope, because I think that's what we need right now. So this story is that sprinkling, and it's also a free meme, so perhaps someone would like to run with the meme. The hope that I have is tied up in my own journey with photovoltaics over the last 15 or so years. Now, photovoltaics is not the only solution to climate change, and it's not the whole solution, but it is a part of a solution. When I started making solar cells, they were tiny, just 1 square centimetre. They were fragile, and their life seemed precarious. I nursed the solar cells gently through the laboratory, wearing something approaching a hazmat suit, mostly to protect the cells from the dust that I carried. It took around 2 weeks to discover if I'd actually made a small solar cell or another resistor, essentially a very expensive piece of wire. I went to conferences where we all wore comfortable clothes, and I knew almost everyone in the room. And then I moved to Germany and I did a postdoc and worked on bigger cells. I made a cell that had a world record efficiency, twice. The second one was 18.1% efficient, and it was a bit under 140 square centimetres. And it wasn't just the size of the cells that was growing. The conferences were getting bigger too, and the clothing was definitely less comfortable. And we said, solar is huge. Today, in contrast, I know almost nobody at the conferences. It's a room of suits. Unless it's a pointy end type event, in which case it's boots and high-vis clothing. My world record has been broken many times over, and the equivalent cell today has an efficiency of 22%. It's almost twice as big as mine was, and it wasn't made by one scientist in a hazmat suit. It was made by a huge Chinese company with more than 13,000 employees. Solar cells and the solar panels that house them are mass-produced now. Around the globe, thousands of solar panels are being pumped out of many, many manufacturing lines every minute. And, luckily, those panels are cropping up everywhere. So in spring last year, I visited what will temporarily be one of Australia's largest solar farms. And I say temporarily because solar farms are springing up around Australia at such speed and in such numbers that any one farm only holds the title of biggest for months at a time. And the hope that I want to share with you today lies in understanding the meaning of the small word big in this context. The solar farm that I visited was so big that I needed a car to get around and a map. I'm still amazed and I'm still excited. I was driving around a solar farm through rows of solar panels, and I wasn't driving like a toy golf buggy. I was driving a four-wheel drive ute. And there was this really impressive machine permanently on the site. It's called a Combi SC. It's essentially a big claw on wheels and stilts, and its job is to take shipping containers off things called super B-double trucks. Each one of the shipping containers held hundreds of solar panels, which meant thousands of solar cells, more than 41,000 in a single container, and each cell in turn hundreds of times bigger than the 1 square centimetre cells that I'd nursed around the laboratory during my PhD 15 years ago. Now, as a mum, I had endured, rather than enjoyed, digger phases of my toddlers. And I was very happy when terms describing various earth-moving vehicles could exit my brain to make way for terms about dinosaurs and space, which are truly fascinating. But at this farm, on seeing this unloader thingy, I stood there with my mouth open and watched as container after container was removed from the back of the trucks and stacked neatly in a pile waiting to be unpacked. And that was just the entrance to the solar farm. Beyond this comparatively small area, the modules were deployed in the field. And if I've given you any idea of the scale of this operation, you have to stop and reimagine, because what we have in the unloading station is like decks of cards neatly stacked. So there were hundreds of workers on site, and they were rostered to be on site for at least a year after I left. They're still there now, because of course we have to spread out our deck of cards face upwards, because solar cells work best when they face the sun. This story of hope is a story of a technology moving from laboratory to industry, and it's a story of scale. And having seen this massive array of hope, I was mentally equipped to believe the possibility contained in the words of Martin Green from the University of New South Wales at a conference in December last year. He said that photovoltaics will have a positive impact on global temperatures. And I've since read that if we can install 71 terawatts of renewable energy by 2050, then there's every chance that we can create a world that's 100% powered by renewable energy and where temperature warming is limited to 1.5 degrees. 71 terawatts by 2050 is about 2.5 terawatts per year for the next 30 years. That's a big number, and I want you to believe that we can get there. And I don't want you to believe that we can get to 2.4 terawatts a year just because I saw a solar farm that was so big that I needed a car to drive around it. And I don't want you to believe it just because I saw a big claw machine that unstacked solar panels that were inside shipping containers from B-double trucks. I want you to believe that we can get to 2.4 terawatts a year, because that's about 320 watts per person per year. It's about one solar panel. And in 2019, here in Australia, we installed about 260 watts per person. So if you're not doing the maths, it's about 80% of the target, kind of a high distinction. And we're going to do more this year. So here in Australia, we are installing enough photovoltaics every year, proportional to our population, to have a measurable impact on global temperatures. So go, sit on a beach, grab a handful of sand, and know, not just that that sand could be used to provide clean power, but that here in Australia, we are actually already installing that clean power. Don't let go of your anger about everything climate change, but have the hope that the next generation of children might be able to learn the names of big pieces of machinery with wheels on them in a world that isn't on fire and that has air that is safe to breathe, and everything that that means for the plants and animals whose safety and very survival is in our hands.
That was Dr. Michelle McCann, CEO and Director of PV Lab Australia, speaking at Smith's Alternative in Canberra just before COVID hit. In the 10 months since life got weird for most of us, things have really ramped up for renewables in Australia. household and commercial installations are set to reach 30% above last year's numbers. And Michelle still gets to go the full hard hat on solar farms. A couple of weeks ago, she saw an enormous truck hauling away the cardboard packaging from around a new batch of solar panels. A whole truck just for the cardboard boxes. She was over the moon. She's probably dreaming up a new meme right now. And that's it for Ockham's Razor for 2020. I really hope you've enjoyed hearing some of our great talks from the past. And I even really hope you'll check in for the fresh lineup of stories from in and around science next year. There will be some rippers in there. I'm Bernie Hobbs. Thanks for your company. Have a great summer. Stay safe. Stay sane.
You've been listening to an ABC podcast. Discover more great ABC podcasts, live radio, and exclusives on the ABC Listen app.